Introduction. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5, you will all flee away. Till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountain top, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. And whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Well, I wonder whether you made any New Year's resolutions. Shuffling of feet, looking down at the floor. Are you still keeping any of them? That would be the next question. I had a strange incident over the Christmas New Year break. My wife bought a DVD from a charity shop. That's not unusual particularly. But it was a keep fit video. She won't mind me telling you this. Like the rest of us, she put on a few pounds at Christmas. It was by Miranda Hart. If you know Miranda Hart, she's quite funny. And so the whole thing was kind of fun, but serious in losing weight. It was a proper DVD. Now, the reason I mention this is because my daughter, when I met up with her on Boxing Day, was talking about the very same DVD that she herself had bought from a charity shop. Wow. I was going to say like mother, like daughter. It was actually like daughter, like mother. But it got me thinking, you know, why are these DVDs so readily available in charity shops? The northerner in me came out. Now, is it any good? It doesn't sound like it if it's in a charity shop. Does it work even? Has somebody seriously had it for a year and given it away because it's just not worked? You know, everybody wants to change at this time of year, but few want to pay the price that's involved in changing. Gym memberships skyrockets at this time of year, but most people, they don't even last the month. You may have noticed on your TV, one of the companies that have these gyms is actually only offering a 3-month deal because they know how it works. With the best will in the world, everybody wants to get in shape. Everybody wants, you know, to be different. It's got to be different this time. And it's this time of year when everybody is geared up for that. So apologies if you've already fallen by the wayside. And if you're still struggling on, maybe what I've got to say this morning may not be too much of an encouragement. But this is my question. What does God want for you this year? What does God want for us this year? Well, I read from Isaiah 30, and particularly verse 15. God suggested steps for his people. God suggested steps for you and for me in 2018. Now, I say suggested steps because God will not force us down this path. You know, it's not some military boot camp that we're signing up to. But it says there in verse 15, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Repentance, rest, quietness and trust. It's a lovely verse, but don't make a fridge magnet out of it, because it finishes but you would have none of it. So it's kind of it's got a cross next to it, unfortunately. But this is what God wanted. This is for his people. This is what God wants for us. And so I want to look at the context of this verse and the contents of this verse for us to think through. You know, the life of a Christian begins with repentance, doesn't it? If it doesn't start there, it doesn't start at all. It really is the ignition to the Christian life. Repenting of our sins. Acknowledging our shortcomings, our faults, our failings. It's not how high we've jumped to get. It's how low we've gone under the carpet, so low. Humility. That God's Son should die for us, taking our sins upon himself, brings us to tears. Repentance. A turning around from our old ways. A turning to Jesus. Looking to him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Repentance, it speaks of, and rest. And I'm going to unpack this more in a moment, but just want to get these two things in place. Repentance and rest. Without repentance, you can never know rest. Unless you come clean, unless you hand on heart or open your heart, you can never know the rest that God speaks of and wants his people to know. We live in a very restless world, no doubt about it. But God wants you to know his rest. Now, that's not to live in a commune away from the world, up on top of some mountain miles away. No, we're in this world, but we can still know a peace that he gives. We just sang in that song about letting his peace rule in our hearts. We'll not strive. Through quietness and through trust, making time to be with the Lord will be important this year. I'm not just talking about meeting on a Sunday, but please make every effort to do that. But also daily, quiet times, making time to be with the Lord, quietening the day down. Either starting quiet before the noise builds for the day, or at the end of the day, or both if you can do both, calming the day down with a quietness before the Lord. Through quietness, through trust. We're going to have to remember every week what God has promised us and take that into the week. Because so often circumstances can upset us, affect us. But we can continue to rest in the Lord. He is unchanging. His promises can be relied upon. Well, let me just take you to the context of these verses that I just read to you. It's one of those many passages where God's people are in trouble again. I don't know about you, there's some comfort in that. It's a little bit like with the New Testament. We can always identify with Peter, can't we? The disciple Peter, because he's always putting his foot in it. He's always making a mess of it. You wouldn't want it with everybody doing everything perfectly all the time. And it's the same with God's people here. Instead of doing things God's way, they're flirting with their enemies. They're making dodgy deals. They're looking to the might of Egypt instead of the might of God. One thing I've learned about this book as I read it through, just as a historical note, is every time anybody looks to Egypt, they're in trouble. It's not the place to go. It might be a lovely place for a holiday, but it stands for the world. It stands for the world's ways without God. Now, there were times, famines, where, you know, for a short time, Egypt was the provider in the days of Joseph, before that in the days of Abraham even. But as a rule, when military problems arose, it was folly to look to Egypt. They might have had the muscle, they might have had the army, but they didn't have the leading of the Lord, they didn't have the blessing of the Lord upon them, and it would always end in defeat. They looked to Egypt. They looked around and thought, well, let's edge our bets. If this goes pear-shaped, we need something here to turn to, someone here to be in good relationship with. You know, we live in a world that encourages independence from a very tender age now. Independence is the buzzword. We live in a world that tells you there's nothing you cannot do. Is it just me, or do you share this? But that's simply not true. There are things I can't do. I'm sorry. I saw an interview with a new rising sports star. He plays darts, actually. He's called Rob Cross. A year ago, he was playing darts in a local competition, and he won a joint prize, £7 each, with a friend. You may have seen this week, he's won the World Championship at darts. Okay, and afterwards, he just simply said, well, just have a go. You never know. Now, for him, that's true. But I've played darts with the kids at youth club. There's no point in saying to me, Andrew, just have a go. Next year, you're going to be the world darts champion. It isn't happening. It's not simply about effort and energy. You have to have a talent. Even with darts, you have to have some sort of skill. But we live in a world that likes just to cajole us on, saying, well, don't give up in this. You can do it. Now, I don't want to poo-poo. You know, there are things that people do get good at, ultimately. But to give this lie that everybody can be the best at everything, it's simply not true. We're in a battle. The enemy of our souls encourages us to seek help from anywhere other than God. He raises up others like Egypt for us. Where is your Egypt? A person, a place that you would turn to before God. We do, don't we, from time to time? We're all guilty of it, whether it's our spouse, a family member. Oh, I've got a trouble, I need to talk to this person about it. And again, nothing wrong with, you know, sharing and praying together and everything else, but do we turn to the Lord first? Or do we get lost in Egypt somewhere rather than looking to the Lord? Now, I've mentioned already Isaiah 30, verse 15, part A would make a good fridge magnet. Part B does not, but you would have none of it. There is a pride, there is a resistance spoken of in this verse. And so often it affects and impacts our own hearts as well. Well, this is the context, as I say, God's people, where will they look for help? And as we go into the new year, I trust first and foremost we'll look to the Lord for our help. He may guide us to ask others for wisdom, for guidance and help. But would we look to the Lord first? That's the context of it. Back to the contents, and particularly repentance and rest. Because even though the people stubbornly were rebellious, stubbornly were looking to their enemies rather than to the Lord, did you hear what it said in verse 18? Yet the Lord longs to be gracious. That's precious. We don't earn grace. We don't say, oh, I've screwed up badly this time, therefore there's no chance of it. The Lord longs to be gracious. You don't have to twist his arm. The people stubbornly resisted his help, yet he still held out that help to them, wanting to show compassion alongside justice, wanting to bless his children, wanting to rescue them, wanting them to know salvation. Think about repentance. As I've mentioned already, it means a change of direction. It isn't just an acknowledgement, okay, I got that wrong.
Though if you notice these days in the world, nobody holds their hand up anymore, do they? Nobody ever makes mistakes anymore. I don't know whether it's the compensation culture or what it is, but people will just, make any excuse rather than say, okay, we've messed up here. In the last few weeks, we've been thinking of the coming of the Lord, Christmas story. And the ministry of the Lord Jesus, as you know, started when he was around age 30. So we have time that we don't know too much about. But we do know that John the Baptist had a ministry to prepare the way. And when you hear what John the Baptist said, well, it's hot. It's scorching, some of the words he says. In Matthew 3, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And he goes on to say, produce fruits in keeping with repentance. So don't just say, okay, we've got this wrong, but put it right. And he said that to people. You know, if you've done something wrong, then correct it. Show you mean business. Turn round from going that way. Do not continue down that path. See, this repentance is a bit harder than it sounds. I mean, who wants their sins? Nobody. Everybody would gladly repent of them. But then, well, actually, there's certain things, certain traits, characteristics that I quite like. They may be considered sins, but they're part of me. And it's quite hard to just give that all up. I mentioned John the Baptist. There he is in his skin outfit and belt, eating wild fruit foods in the wilderness. But when Jesus came along, what did he first say? Matthew 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Same message. As I say, we live in a world that doesn't want to change its direction, doesn't want to turn round. In fact, really, only by a work of God's Spirit can our lives be turned round. It's not something naturally we will say, yes, please, yes, please. But by God's Spirit, our lives can be turned round. Pride resists it. How dare you say I'm wrong? But humility and the work of the Spirit brings us to that place that says, yes, I am wrong. You see, some people think that Jesus is just some sort of improvement aid to put a shine on their life. Just a little bit I'm missing in life, and Jesus, if he fills that little gap, that will be wonderful. But Jesus is not in the business of making lives better. He's in the business of making lives new. And there's a big difference. He doesn't take just us and polish up. He takes, he removes, he rebuilds, he makes new. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans that without the Lord Jesus, we are still powerless and still sinners. He's the only one who can forgive our sins. He's the only one who can give us that power for living. Over the years, and coming up in a couple of months' time, we're going to have a visit from SGA. And it's nice to meet, isn't it, brothers and sisters from Eastern Europe. I remember a trip I made to Romania with SGA, and remember being told that believers are called repenters in Romania. There are others who go to church, but those who believe the Bible, we would call them evangelical Christians, they are known by their community as repenters. And it's almost a derogatory term. You repenter. But actually, it's a badge of honour, isn't it? For those who fully understand the cross and they wear it and bear it so well in that country, and the Lord has blessed them abundantly because of that. They have repented, and they continue to repent because we fall short of the glory of God. We're not all that we should be. We're not transformed perfect overnight. It's an ongoing work of God's grace. Those who repent find rest. Those who don't spend their time covering up their sins. They can't rest because they're fearful, afraid of what might be uncovered. But this morning, if you've given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus, lock, stock and barrel, every bit of you, all my faults, all my failings, there is nothing that I'm standing hiding, all out in the open. We can rest in the Lord and what he's done at Calvary for us. So this year, 2018, keep short accounts with God regarding sin. Okay? Please don't excuse yourself. Please don't say, oh, it's part of my nature, it's part of my nurture, it's just part of rebellion. That's what sin is against God. And there's nowhere to, you know, don't sweep it under the carpet, don't brush it away. Call it what it is and confess it, repent of it, and change direction. And find rest for your souls in Jesus. Repentance alone leads to rest. And rest is promised. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Now back to God's people in the days of Isaiah. They had a plan. They had horses. Good horses, and they were figuring that if they could get on the horses and run for the hills, they would get away from their enemies. Yet no one can outrun the enemy of our souls. You see the devastation around of those who've been enslaved, captured by the enemy. So many think they can, in their own strength or by their own means, get themselves free. But only Jesus, only our Lord, can break the power of sin. And it speaks in these verses of a banner on a hilltop. But this time, not in triumph, but in tragedy. A people cut off. Their enemies all around them, and they're stuck on the top of a hill. The flag is flying, but not in a victorious way. Ultimately, they're having to surrender because they're surrounded. That's the picture here. However high man goes in his pursuit to be free, he always ends on the mountaintop, surrounded by the enemy. Only the Lord Jesus defeated the enemy at Calvary. Only he sets free from such a situation. You remember Jesus' words, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me. We mentioned dear Gwen. And when people die, obviously one of the things used to be put on the gravestones at least was R.I.P., wasn't it? Rest in peace. Rest in peace in death, through your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But why not rest in peace in life through your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? It's not just for the graveyard. It's not just for eternity. It's for now. It's for each day. In repentance and rest is your salvation. But when I speak of rest, we've got to be careful here. I'm not talking about rest in the sense of putting your feet up on a deck chair and just sitting back with a cocktail. No, that's not the Bible's picture of rest. Because it goes on to say, in quietness and trust is your strength. Don't rest in peace and sleep. We rest in the Lord to serve. We wait upon the Lord to be guided by him. Now, as you read through these verses, God's people in their rebellion. They didn't want to hear from God. Surprise, surprise. They said, take your prophets away, your seers. We don't want visions. We don't want to know what you're saying. But if we find rest in the Lord, he directs us. As soon as he hears, he will answer you, is the promise. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. As we rest in quietness before the Lord, we can hear what God is saying to us through our quiet times as we read his word. And we can rest through trusting and depending upon what he has said to us. We can be confident in the Lord, the unchanging God and the unchanging message of his word. Well, our time has gone and we want to come to the table, not in a rush this morning. But I just wanted to say to you from the outset this year, just to remind you, our God is a God who saves and strengthens. And he wants each of us to know that this year. What can prevent us from knowing it? Well, only our foolish pride, a spirit of independence, listening to the world and doing it the world's ways rather than doing it God's way. So let us beware of the danger and the outcome of such an attitude. And in it all, though we've looked at Isaiah this morning, remember our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. No sin, no need for repentance. But he found rest every day in the will and the work of the Father. And we can find that same rest. A rest in doing what the Lord wants us to do. Nothing else, nothing more, just what he asks of us. So keep those words before you as we start this year together. Repentance. Let's keep our record short with regard to sin before God and indeed before one another. And rest. Abiding in him. Strengthened by him for the task and the challenge ahead of us. Amen.